start this morning by just allowing us just to get into Scripture, allow God to speak to us through His Word, just to see some of the themes that you have in Scripture, how they intertwine with each other from the Gospels and to the message of Paul, and how we see that started to develop in the early church, and hopefully that's got to be our foundation. You know, we were going to be rooted in what God's Word says, and now we're going to build on that. And one of the topics that we want to look at today is how we can do assimilation. What do we mean by assimilation? Well, assimilation is basically a three-step process. All right? Assimilation is about turning that first-time guest into a second-time guest. To turn a second-time guest into a regular attender, and then to turn a regular attender into a fully developing member. And as I will demonstrate to you today, just when you get to membership, that doesn't mean that you're done. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. But for all intents and purposes, when we're talking about assimilation, is that our target or our goal is membership. Okay, so that person has become a member of KC Church, that person is fully developing as a member. You start out, so this is where you have, I just call this farming, because this is where you're sowing seed. Then you have a person who is your first time guest. You want to move that person to become a second time or a regular attender, and then they move to membership. So we're talking about this kind of movement. Right, for taking a person who's never been ever at KC Church and maybe never been to a church. I talked to a guy by the name of Colin who has, who just last Sunday, he came to our cafe church at Bray Park, which is Bray Park Community Church, which is the CRCA church on the north side of Brisbane. We are doing a church extension there, which means we're on the same campus. We're having a second worship service happening at the same time as our other service. Well, anyways, we call that cafe church because it's done with good coffee and good desserts and all that kind of stuff. It's all video-based and all of that kind of stuff. But anyways, Colin came. This is his third time in church. All right? There was a time when Colin was out here. I talked to Colin. He's never been to church before in his life. He didn't even know what the Bible was. He came to church for the very first time, came back. Now he's a regular attender. He's 3 weeks in a row. I saw him carrying, the first time in his life, he's carrying a Bible in his hand. A little white, New King James version of the Bible. A gift from the people of that cafe church. And he's wondering what to do with that book. Because it's just a book to him. Doesn't even know where to start reading. And so people are helping him. But the goal is to take Colin, who was out here, to bring Colin here. Where he becomes a fully developing member of Bray Park Community Church. Another way to look at it is like this. We're moving people through three steps. First of all, we want people to return. Okay, we want them to come back. They came once, we want them to return. Secondly, we want them to build relationships with people. Right? Because they're not going to stick unless they build relationships. And then we want to get them to the point where they assume responsibility, because if you want members to really stick with your church, they have to start assuming responsibility. They got to get involved. Another way to look at that is we want people to stay, want people to stick, we want people to serve. All right, so that's the goal of assimilation. We want to move people along that continuum where they come once, they return, they start developing relationships, and then they start assuming responsibilities. All right? They stay, they stick, they serve. Welcome. So, again, all we're doing is taking people from here, moving them so they become a fully developing member of the church. So that's the whole goal of assimilation. Now, Why is sticky so important? Larry Osborne wrote a book, The Sticky Church. It's a great read. And I'm just borrowing some things from him, just as I begin today. And he talks about the church needs to be a sticky church. Sticky, by sticky we mean is that we get people that they actually stick, right? They stay within the church. Larry Osborne says, let me get my thing working. He says, it doesn't matter how wide the front door of your church is if the back door is wide open. See, there's so many churches, they give very little attention to their back doors. You know, we've discovered so many ways to reach people to come in through the front doors. I mean, we have exciting worship services, or we have big events, and we bring people in. Or we're into this missional thing, you know, and we do some maybe far out kind of different kind of like cafe church, you know. You got good coffee and good desserts, bring people in, right? We can bring people in. Or we're into this, you know, small church. We're nice and cozy and nice and, you know, everyone kind of knows each other and it feels good. And people come in, it's like coming home to mom and dad, you know. So we know how to do that. We know how to bring people in. But what about the back door? What do we do when we, how can we keep people from leaving out the back door and never returning? Now, sticky churches are a whole lot healthier churches. They not only draw in spiritual window shoppers and lead them to Christ, but they also grow them up into maturity. They help these people find connections within the church so that relationships are built up. Now just think of Jesus' parable of the sower. I love that parable. It's one of my favorite accounts in Matthew's gospel of when Jesus talks about our task. And we have this sower that actually just scatters seed all over the place, right? And some lands on rocky soil, some lands on the path, and the birds of the air eat it. And some is in shallow soil, but then there are some seeds that actually stick. And they produce a harvest. That's what we want to see. We just don't want to just have lots and lots of people come to church. We want people to stick, right? We want people to come to this point where they return and they actually become a fully developing member of the church. We want people to bear fruit, some tenfold, some 50-fold, some 100-fold. We don't want the birds of the air to pluck them off. So they're just out the back door. Or they're so shallow that they're gone. We want people to really stick. Now think of it this day, between the difference between a sticky and a revolving door. Just think of two churches. Both of these churches, they grew from 200 to 500 people. But one was a sticky church and the other church had a revolving door. Or a big back door. Well, Church A was a church that had a big back door. They lost 7 persons for every 10 that it added. So in other words, they had 10 people come in, but 7 people went out the back door. So in order to grow to 500, they needed to add 834 people. They needed 834 people to come in that front door. Now, Church B, on the other hand, they only lost 3 persons for every 10 person it added. So in other words, they had 10 people come in, but only 3 people went out, not 7. Well, they needed to add 357 people to come through the front door. That's the difference between a sticky church and a church that has a revolving door or a very big back door. So just, I want you to, my little thing is not working. Just turn to someone beside you and just ask that question of yourself. What's wider in your church? The front door or the back door? Just, all right, so here's the difference. The church with the revolving door At the end of that period of time where they grew to 500 people, they also had 534 people that were former attenders. Because they had an additional 534 people that actually went through the front door, but they never came back and never became actively involved in the local church. So what we want to talk about this morning is for us to think about what would it take for us to be a church that doesn't have a revolving door, that has a very tight door. We close the back door so that when people come in, that they become fully developing members of KC Church. Well, let's look at some natural practices of sticky churches. See, ultimately a church will grow in one of two ways. Either they will get a lot of people coming through the front door, or it will stop losing people through the back door. It's like earning more money or spending less, right? Get more people to come in through the front door or closing up the back door. Now, well, there's a lot of churches, they give lip service to the importance of both. But in reality, there's usually a strong bias to one or the other. Either people have a very big back door, or they have a very tight, a very big front door, or a very tight back door. So let's look at these two kinds of churches. I want to think about what the differences might be. See, because churches that close the back door effectively do so by serving their congregation so well that the people simply don't want to leave. And happy sheep are incurable word-of-mouth marketers. Whether it's the fabulous food at our favorite restaurant, or the excitement of a great movie, or the life-changing impact of a church ministry, most can't help but tell others when we've been well-served, and no one needs to tell us to do so. And so sticky churches have much more advantage when it comes to first-time visits and follow-up visit, as well as assimilation. Well, let's think about that first visit. You have someone that comes to your church for the very first time. Now, let's say that you are the attractional church. You've got great programs, and you put on these events that you want to invite people to come to your church. And so people come for that very first visit. When that person comes that first time and they come to this big event, I mean, you're reaching out to your community and you say, this is Invited Friends Sunday, and everyone come over, we're going to have special things. I mean, Lamont is going to actually have a good sermon. we're going to have special music, and we're going to have good food, and you know, the things are really going to happen really well at church, right? And so they all come. So when that first person comes that first time, what do they expect the next time? Exactly the same thing. And they come the next time, and well, you know, things are not as great. I mean, Lamont is still preaching a good sermon, but you know, there's not good coffee being served. You know, you don't got the special things happening. And people right away, they get really disappointed, right? Now compare that to the neighbor whose first visit was the result of a word of mouth invitation to just your ordinary, typical weekend service. And they're invited over, and they just come. Things might not be that impressive, and they might not have been wowed by, you know, what was going on there. But guess what? They're not going to be disappointed when they come the second time. Because the reason why they're there is because they were brought over there by their neighbor or by their friend. There's no bait and switch to overcome. If you like the first visit well enough to come back a second time, he's most likely to come back a third and a fourth and eventually become a regular attender. Now, that's just natural evangelism going on. Natural evangelism, another way to talk about it is come and see evangelism. It's just that you meet people and you meet up with them and you just say to them, hey, come along. I want you to just to see. Just come along to our church and just experience what's happening at KC Church. Just inviting people. just to attend a worship service, maybe come to a small group, to hang out with some Christian friends, to go down to the shed where you guys are hanging out, just be in there with each other. Now that's what a sticky church is all about. It's about offering a perfect environment for come and see evangelism, just for natural evangelism to happen. You know, while every worship service is helped designed to make Christians better Christians, yet the services are always done in a way that will help non-Christians understand everything that's said and takes place. And so just natural evangelism happens. People come to church, they understand the message, they experience what's going on there, it's a good feel, and people stay there. If that happens within a church, we also see natural follow-up happening. See, if you were just using an attractional approach and having a big wide door and inviting people to come in, it takes a lot of work to do follow-up with those people. Because first of all, you got to get to know them, you get to meet them. But if these people were invited to the church by their mates, by their friends, by their neighbors, natural follow-up happens because, you know, people say, well, how did it go today? How'd you like it? You're going to come back next week. And just natural follow-up happens. That's what a sticky church looks like. Just people come naturally back because they're just invited by their friends. They don't need people to remind them to ask them to come back. And natural assimilation then also happens. See, it's easier to assimilate when there's no need to build a bridge between, you know, the bells and whistles of a big event and the more, you know, regular kind of programming that you might have at a weekend service. You know, if you just, people just want to come back because they experienced something good the first time and they come back the second time. Instead of having a complex assimilations program, a sticky church simply is a church that starts to provide many opportunities for people who come through the door to start building relationships, connecting points with other members in the church. Now, again, just turn to the person beside you and just think about this question. Have you ever tried a large-scale outreach event at your church? And if you have, how successful have they been in bringing in people? And how successful have they been at keeping people? Just talk about that. All right, just talk to me about that. Have you ever had large events at your church? Give me an example of something.
Not really.
Not really? Okay. What did you have? Okay, so explain to me what you said. I didn't really understand what you said. Oh, affair.
Affair.
Okay. Affair. See, in Australia, I always get a kick out of you guys because you just sort of never really finish your words. You know, just affair. Sorry. So I didn't catch you, so that's fine. You all understood, but I didn't. It was my problem, not yours. Yeah. Okay, so you have a fair, but there's not really that one-on-one contact with people afterwards. All right. So does it bring in people? No? So if you don't bring in people, you can't keep them either, right? Those people to come back again. Front door evangelism is the toughest thing to do. It really is. You got to be very intentional about it, but you got to find creative ways to build those bridges. Now, getting this little package is one way, right? That's a way to little bring a connection point, but there's got to be a whole lot more work done to do that. How might natural evangelism happen in your church? Let's just talk as a group. How might natural evangelism happen? As you think about that, just that come and see evangelism. How might that work itself out? Just give me some examples. How might that happen? Pardon?
Talking to a neighbor in a situation that might be.
Okay, talking to a neighbor. Okay. Yeah. But there, if a visitor comes, and you never know that person, there's a huge bridge that has to be built. What's one of the first things that need to happen in a situation like that when you got a visitor that comes in and you want to build that connection, other than just that greeting at the door? Yeah. Like what? What follow-up? Invite him to coffee words, maybe into the fellowship hall afterwards where you build connections, line them up with some other people. What else? Okay, invite him to a small group or invite him to your home. Usually it would start, invite him over to your home for dinner afterwards. And in my previous church, I'm stepping a little ahead of myself right now, but in my last church, that's one of the things that we did. We had host families that were, you know, every Sunday we had host families. And so we knew that if we had any visitors that came over, there was host families that we would immediately get them. They would be in the foyer of the church. They would recognize visitors come in. If they had nowhere to go after church, they were invited for dinner at a person's house. They always put that on. And if no one, there was no visitors that came over that Sunday, they would invite someone else from the church they didn't really know. So that way, you know, you build those connections, you build, right, relationships, right? You want to find entry points and connections with members. Now, if you have a neighbor that you bring your neighbor, they already have that connection point, right? Because Herman, Betty, I mean, they have their neighbor that comes, but you got that connection point already. But if you don't, you got to make those connection points. All right, any other ideas for natural evangelism? At work? Is that what you said? Yeah, you got mates at work, people that you know. All right, let's do a welcome checkup. Go to your first page of your handouts that I gave to you. And we're just going to fill this out as we go along. All right? You all got it? Okay, every church wants to welcome and nurture new people. Here's five categories to help you to assess how Casey Church is going. See, I didn't say doing, because here you say going. First of all, how you going? First, visibility. Right? Newcomers to our community can easily find out about our church through a listing in the Yellow Pages, the weekly ad in the local newspaper, brochures and motels, a website, a page on the church's answering machine or message that lists the times of services and classes. Our building is easy to find. If yours is not, make sure visible signs clearly point the way to it. We have a prominent sign listing our church name and times of services, the information. Okay. All right. Okay. So, rather than discussing it right now, just tick it off. So I guess you tick it. So you ticked off on that box, we need to work on this. That's what you ticked off. All right. Okay, first impressions. People measure us by what we see. Our grounds are well maintained. We have adequate parking. Our lot does not have major problems. Our building is accessible to the physically handicapped. Friendly members greet people at each major entrance. Bulletin boards and other displays inside the church are attractive and up to date. Child care is available. Room numbers and directions are clearly visible. Tick off what you think is right. Okay, well, I'll get your answers in a minute. Okay, worship experience. The bulletin is easy to read. It lists the church's name, address, phone number. The words to hymns, whether printed or displayed, are easy to read. Directions are given for all portions of the service in which people participate, such as prayers and responsive readings. During the service, traditions or approaches that might be unfamiliar to people, such as the way the communion is handled, are explained. I'll give you an example. I went to a church in our denomination. I went to an evening service. They were having communion that Sunday. I didn't know, except I was bombarded by people when I came into that church, and they said, "We're having communion today. Are you a member of a church? And we want to make sure that you know you can participate in communion." I said, "Yeah, actually, I'm a pastor, and you know, I know your pastor very well." And well, then you may participate. And your wife too? Yeah, okay, fine. They had their tradition of going up to the front in the service, and they had a common cup and little cups and bread. I had never done that in my life. I was like a fish out of I was like a fish out of water. I tell you, did I ever feel totally out of it? I felt like walking out of that building. Well, we passed them through the aisles and okay, well, whatever. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Whatever your tradition is good, but it would have been a whole lot better if they had said to me, you know, by the way, you know, when that night they had their second time to do communion. So in the morning, everyone participated. That night, it was like seven people. And two of them was me and my wife. And we didn't know what in the world we were doing, where to stand, where to walk, how to go up, where. Oh, I tell you, if that was my worship experience, I would never go back to that church.
And you didn't have elders at the side guiding you?
No, they didn't tell me what to do. They just assumed that I knew what I was doing. Okay? That's just an example. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Children are welcomed through special music or children's sermons and are provided with a children's service. Okay? Do we do this well? We need to work on this. Okay, reinforcement. Visitors need reminders that someone cares about them. The newcomers may be long-term members of the community, but when they attend a church worship service, they need to be reassured that they've done a good thing. Each visitor is sent a letter. It's personally signed. It's called or visited as soon as possible. Do you do this well? Do you need to do it better? And nurture. We offer special study groups or discipleship classes for newer Christians. We also offer several short-term groups or activities. After meeting together for 6 to 12 weeks, people in a group tend to bond together. Newcomers find it more difficult to break in. Also, before each membership class begins, we invite every non-member who has attended the church recently. Do you do this well? We need to work on this. Okay, let's just discuss for just a couple minutes. Which of the above areas are we strong in? Where do we need improvement? What do you think? Where do you think Casey Church is strong in? 2 and 3? All right, 2 and 3. And what do we need? Okay, all right. So, you know, some more entry points for guests, some process, some structure, more people talking to guests. Okay, let's just put that on hold for a moment. And let's move to the next handout that you have. Just look at your atmosphere of your church. All right? Welcoming, identifying, and integrating newcomers. A critical factor in holding newcomers is atmosphere. Okay, some churches exude an atmosphere that says, visitors are welcome here. And it doesn't derive from handouts or slogans. It's particularly It's not particularly what happens up front, though that helps. It's sort of like an air that permeates the whole congregation. An intangible that says to first-timers, we've been expecting you, and we're glad that you've come. So now I want you to rate your church. I'm going to just read them, and I want you to rate them. Okay? Assess your success from the pulpit and from the pew on a scale of 1. We do this very well. To 5, we do not do this. All right, and I'm just going to read them and then you mark them off. We've created an environment that is designed with the newcomer's experience in mind. Our leaders lead in a warm, personable way, style. We make newcomers feel welcome by explaining elements of our worship that could be confusing. We try to obtain contact information for our newcomers and pursue follow-up with them. Pastors are directly involved in welcoming newcomers. Volunteers, especially small group leaders, are involved in integrating newcomers into church life. And finally, our pastors and lay leaders regularly highlight ministries and offer opportunities for involvement. Okay. So we're doing this well, relatively well. Anyone else? You're more the other way? 2-1 So you're doing it, you think we're doing it very well? No. See, you don't listen to instructions. Okay.
I think, James, part of our problem in a sense is that we are so involved in our own church, we don't always see.
Okay. So it's just primarily on Sundays or throughout the week as well that you start building relationships outside? Okay, so Bible study group. Okay, very good. Okay, through the Bible study group is one of your major contact entry points. Did you go through a membership class? Okay. And you're an elder. Okay. So just a little build on that a little bit. The second question, how do we currently build relationship with newcomers? How can we do that better? What do you do now? Okay, that's a good segue to what I want to look at now. Turn over your page to the next handout. So look at 9 barriers to adopting visitors. Okay? The first barrier is large family networks. In one church that I'm aware of, 3 family circles with a chain of relationships connected more than 175 people. These networks have their own social gatherings in which outsiders aren't included. Relatives often are so busy taking care of family needs, little time remains to consider the needs of outsiders. So there's a lot of family stuff. Okay. Again, tick off. And notice the categories. Lamont. The first one is no. The middle is somewhat.
How much do you like this from 1 to 10? What did you say?
I got to keep you guys awake. Look at the comfy chairs. Look at the comfy chairs you are in.
Numbers on here anymore.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, 2, existing friendships. In another church, the pastor talked about how friendly it was. The church was friendly. You'd see people in animated conversations with their friends. But the whole time, others sat alone. John and his wife. No one talked with them. Facilities. The design of our church buildings can be an obstacle where there is no signs to direct people to entrances, the nursery, or restrooms. It can be a huge obstacle. In my last congregation, that was a massive obstacle. We had people who would come in, and the first thing they were looking for was or the creche or nursery. You know what? And I'm sorry, creche. I should have put creche. I'm still thinking in my I got my other hat on. So you know what I'm talking about. You know, they were looking for that, and you know, it took about 7 years for us to finally have good signage. Just to direct people to the toilets was so important. A church's history. Some congregations seem more interested in the past than in the future. Sermon illustrations and announcements often refer to past events, cherished traditions, and former members. You know, 18 years ago, you know, when John and Mary were part of our church. And special events. People attracted to a church by special events will likely stick only if the kind of ministry finds that first attracted them is sustained. But that's a difficult undertaking. You can't just keep everything being special all the time. So it just gets ordinary. It just gets regular. Philosophy of ministry. If the pastor or congregation believes church life is generated from the platform on Sunday morning, allegiance may be only to the pastor. If, however, a church's ministry emphasizes interaction among members in a shared ministry, integration means providing facilities and programs for people to build friendships and to serve. All right. Reputation. Strife among members is picked up quickly by newcomers. All right, they just see the animosity, and you see people won't talk from the right to. I had one church I visited a couple years ago here in CRCA, and you could just cut a knife through that church because you just knew these people never talked to those people. Confusing service styles. Visitors often feel uneasy when they first attend church. Much of what we do in our services, though familiar to members, is intimidating to visitors. You've already answered that one. And poor attitudes. Perhaps the greatest obstacle to newcomer integration is the attitude of the insiders. People just don't feel good about their church. I talked to a pastor just this week, and he says, you know what? Our church is so depressed, and everyone comes to church depressed, you know, because, you know, everyone has this idea that our church is no good. And, that church is in decline. They're not growing because this is a whole poor attitude. So again, just reflect a little bit on those nine barriers. Which of those barriers, does our church place in front of newcomers? Any? 5-minute rule. You know, after church, our 5-minute rule is that for the first 5 minutes, you walk across the room and you talk to somebody you've never met before. And so right off the bat, and what that often happens, the 5-minute turns into 10 or 15, and an invitation for dinner and building relationships. And just having that 5-minute rule that you don't talk. And that's done publicly that's mentioned almost every Sunday. So that it's up front because, you know, we put our guests at a top priority. All right. So let's think about how we could enhance assimilation. Turn to your next one. Vital ratios for creating community. The first one is the friendship ratio. See, every new person should be able to identify at least 7 friends in the church within their first 6 months of attending a church. All right, so within the first 6 months, they should be able to identify 7 new friends. Friends appear to be the strongest bond connecting new members to their congregation. 7 new friendships are a minimum. 10, 15, or more are even better. And the first 6 months are crucial. Those relationships have to be established. Role task ratio in a church, 60 to 100. At least 60 roles and tasks that specific functions and abilities should be available for every 100 members in the church. Typical churches of 300 probably have no more than 80 roles and tasks available. But if you want a newcomer to find a meaningful relationship within the church, they have to have ways where they could link up into the tasks and the responsibilities and roles within the church. And so you got to just create tasks and roles within the church, whether it's making coffee or taking care of sound or sweeping the yard or doing whatever. But just create tasks and roles within the church so that people can get involved. The group ratio. For every 100 members, there should be at least 7 groups where friendships, where the 7 relational groups should be established. Places where friendships are built. 7 for every 100 members. If you see plateauing and declining churches, they fall far short of this group to member ratio. So good questions to ask are, how many groups does a church have per 100 members? What percentage of the congregation is a regular part of one or more groups? How many new converts or new members have been a regular part of such groups in the last 2 years? How many have not? And the answers to those questions will provide, good understanding, good answer to the question, how open is this church to newcomers? So 7 groups for every 100. For every 5 groups that you have, at least one of them should be new. A new group. You know, Bray Park just started a new group last week. It's a study on the book of Philippians. Why do we start new groups all the time? Well, we started a new group because we wanted an entry point, right? Wanted an entry point for newcomers, because newcomers often come to new groups, not established groups. They're harder to break into. So start new groups. Yep. You develop them. Yeah, that's why naturally, I think naturally in every small group, you should have an apprentice. Right? Every group, if you have a group that's leading, they should have another couple that they are their apprentices, that they're teaching them everything. They're meeting with them. They're co-leading. They're helping them so that eventually you can multiply and start new groups. That's like every elder should have an apprentice. Every pastor should have an apprentice. You should be training up new leaders all the time. Leadership development is so critical for all these things. Committee member ratio. One of every five committee members should have joined a church within the last 2 years. All right, growing churches. This are the statistics. New board and committee members bring fresh and exciting ideas along with vitality. So you think of your session board or the various committees that you have in your church. Start getting newcomers to join. One for every five. So if you have 10, two of them should be new.
I find in our church that when people are elected, a little bit of a hesitation in, maybe we should keep that new guy a chance.
Well, but that should become part of the philosophy of the church. You're saying in order for us to be welcoming of newcomers and to continue to see this grow, we need to make sure that at least two, and we just say it up front, two, you know, a ratio of 2 to 5. Right, 20% of our, you know, 2 out of every 5 should be new people that have been in the church within the last 2 years. Okay, staff ratio. For every 150 members, you should have one staff person. All right, a church should have at least one full-time staff person for every 150 people in worship. Okay, that shows your commitment to growth. Inclusive. Right? That's right. Those are people that are worshiping. Okay, and finally, visitor ratio. Of the first-time members who live in the church's ministry area, 3 of every 10 should be actively involved within 1 year. And that will, that ratio will clearly show you what your attitude toward newcomers, your openness to visitors, the priority of visitors in the functioning of the church. It's so important to get people involved as quick as possible. So at least 30% of them should be within the first year, should be involved actively in the life and ministry of the church.
Jack, where do you think these ratio numbers from?
This comes from Wynne and Charles Arne, who are seasoned church growth experts who have done major research in churches all over the world. And so they look at growing churches, and they see churches that are growing, that are being effective in reaching newcomers, and these are the ratios that they have come up with. This is from their study. Yeah. Do you have a question?
I know you were talking about a lot of people and getting them involved. How do you get your own of them involved to get involved?
How do you get regular members? Creates places for them. Probably the reason why they're not involved is because there's not enough roles and tasks within the church. And we will know a little. The answer to that question will get answered a little bit more even this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we're not only talking about getting them involved in the life and ministry of what we do on a Sunday or in our educational programs within our church. We're talking about in the life and ministry of the church. So we're thinking even beyond the borders of our church, right? We're not thinking about Casey on Pound Road, right? We're thinking beyond that. Yeah. That's, and you have to be very intentional about that. When Brave Park came to that point, we realized that, you know, we were way beyond 80%, and we just started another service on the same days, same place. You know, and that took about, you know, 60, 80 people. So you just make space by, and we just took all our children out of our worship and set up their own worship service. So we have about 150, 200 kids that are out doing their own worship service. So, you know, that way you can accommodate into a facility that can only hold about 500.
Just to has just done that, the first service that
you're not dividing. What about, what's our division? What's our unity? Our unity is in what?
Christ.
In Christ, and our common mission of what we're all about.
But you see, we are a family church. And
but remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10, what we heard this morning. If you're not willing to give up father and mother and son and daughter for my sake, you're not worthy of me. What are we in the church all about? We're not here just so that we can... You know, I said it with my daughter. And my daughter feels a call to go to Africa, and that disturbs me. I need to hang out with my grandkids. You know, that can't be. You should settle in Ontario. So when I retire, at least I can see my grandkids grow up and all of that. And I said, well, what's that all about? That's not God's kingdom. That's not what we're here for. We're here to grow the kingdom. If she feels called by God to go into Africa and to be a difference maker in the Congo, well, how can I argue with what God is? That's part of what her's doing. You have to be able to willing to give up son and daughter and mother and father for the sake of the kingdom, right? I mean, there's many ways to do that. You know, there's many different ways to have two different times that you meet on a Sunday, or you have a service that meets in the afternoon. You scrap your evening service and you have two different services and two different crowds. That's right. I have friends of mine, probably our best friends in our church right now. They are they're the couple that are spearheading the cafe church. He's one of our elders. I go to the main church, not to the cafe church. We never see them anymore. But you know what? We find many different ways to connect. He just called me up last night when I was pulling into the parking lot. He said, "What are you doing for coffee? Can I come over for coffee?" I said, "Well, you have to fly down to Melbourne." But I mean, there's different ways to connect, right? And that's, you have to be creative to do that. It's all intentionality, but it's what your purpose is, right? If you're really serious about finding connecting points for newcomers and attracting newcomers and keeping them and closing that back door, even that back door for your own members, you know, you got to be able to create the atmosphere that will happen. And these are some of the ways to do that. Just watching our time, membership class. Is critical, one of the goals is when you're moving people to here is that they need to know what membership is all about. And I'm going to quickly go through this. This comes from Rick Warren. You could read about that in his Purpose-Driven Church. Talks about, you know, what we need to do, and membership classes are critical to do that. I've always done that in ministry. That a membership class talks about what is the church, what are the purposes of the church, what's the benefits of being a member, what are the requirements for membership, what are the responsibilities of membership, what is the vision and strategy of this church, how is the church organized, how can I get involved, what do I do now that I am a member? And that becomes very critical, right? When you get together as a church to simply... find those people that are starting to attend the church, get them into a class where they can talk about and explore what membership is all about. One of the expectations that you need to create within a church is that you want to move people toward membership, to become part of this church. And that needs a class where you're able to, you know, get together with 10 or 12 other people to talk about the facets of what membership is all about. Well, that's very important. And actually, you just took my next slide away, which I don't have, and somehow I lost it. So, which is one thing I wanted to talk about, because I can just draw. It's very critical, actually. I don't like using the baseball diamond because you guys play cricket. Everything is like that, you know, or ovals or whatever. But you want to start with membership, right? You want to get people to come membership, but membership is not where you want to end, right? When you're working with a church, once a person is a member, have they arrived? Absolutely not. What needs to happen when they become a member? Right? That's right. They need to
get a home run.
They gotta get a home run. That's right. There has to be where you start talking about the spiritual disciplines and start developing them as a member. Right? Spiritual formation stuff, right? That's where we talk about maturing. Right? That's what you start, right? You start with maturing them. When I came to Bray Park, I met up with this fella, and he was living in a de facto relationship. He was one of our cadet leaders. I started, talking to him, and I said, "What about if I disciple you? You're a leader in the church." I thought, I'll help you to, maybe be a better leader as a Christian. And when I started meeting with him, I realized this person didn't know how to pray. He didn't know how to read a Bible. He didn't even know where to find things in the Bible. And I thought, here's a leader within the church. I had to start much basic stuff. This is not leadership material. That's over here, right? I had to talk about maturing this person. And so I spent a year with this fella just teaching him how to read the Bible, how to pray. And it's so wonderful, 6 months after that, he got married, and now he's discipling his kids in the faith. And, he's praying with his kids at night. And, you see the growth in their life. But, you have to mature them, right? They become a member, but that's just starting. Then you mature them. Then you need to talk about ministry, right? How to get involved within the church, right? So they need to be trained up to use their gifts, to discover their gifts, find what those gifts are, start to develop those gifts, and then utilize those gifts in ministry. And then finally, they have to know what their mission is. So they got to get involved in reaching out so that they could bring other people in so that this whole process can continue. And so this is just where it started. But for all intents and purposes for today, I wanted us just to get here. This is a whole other thing. But it's mature. This is discipleship, right? This is leadership. This is evangelism. And that needs to happen with all of us. We need to all go through it. If you haven't gone through that process yourself within the church, you better talk to your leaders within the church, yourselves, look yourself in the mirror and saying, we got to create these things so that we are mature in our faith, we get involved in ministry, and we know what that ministry is all about, and we learn how to reach out so that we can bring others in. And that's a 2-year process. Yeah. Yeah. Rick Warren talks about 101, 201, 301, 401. Yeah. All right. We have, what time is lunch? At 12? Okay. Pardon? Was it 12:30? Yes. That's good. That's very good. Because even though I had 2 more slides, but I don't know what happened to them. Let me see if I missed anything here. I don't know where they went, but let me just share some things with you. I want to just wrap this up, and then we've got a half an hour where you're going to do some work together in groups. Okay? So let me just... So where do we start? Here's some advice. Here's some advice for you to help overcome the difficulty of integrating newcomers. First of all, start small. All right? Not big steps. Not at all. We're not going to change everything. We're going to change one thing. Or maybe we're going to hire somebody on staff part-time for one day a week, and their whole responsibility within the church is to make sure that we take care of our newcomers. So they help design a ministry, and they monitor the system, and they do that. When I, in my last congregation, one of the first things we did, we started introducing friendship pads within our church where we can identify guests that would come in. We need to collate that information. We need to follow up with these members. And so we hired on a person for one day a week just to help us process all of that and to keep track of our newcomers and to make sure that these people were linked up into different ministries and different groups. And so we actually got some person to do that. So, but start small. Just take one step, right? A step forward is not a step backward. Okay, recruit others. It's so important that you start to involve other people. Even if, let's say, you have one person that has the responsibility of taking care of the newcomer ministry, get that person to recruit others to involve themselves also in that work. So it's not just one person doing it, but it starts to become a ministry of the church. Get moving. Start scheduling events that incorporate visitors, newcomers, and those outside of the church. Just create events where you can start inviting, you know, newcomers to come. It might be a newcomer's luncheon, or it might be a picnic in the park. It might be a father-daughter kind of deal that you might have, or whatever. But you got to find entry points where you can invite visitors to get involved. Involve the whole church. Be upfront about your vision to integrate and to attract newcomers into the church life. And I can't stress that enough. This has to be something that's spoken of the front of the church. It's part of, you know, your reporting that you do. It's part of the questions that you ask at session level, and it's reported back to the congregation, is that you're always thinking about, you know, we as a church are here to gather in the lost, the least and the last, and we need to do things. Involve the whole church. Pinpoint your opportunities. What are some steps that you can take to accommodate the needs of newcomers? Just think about the newcomers that come, and you might, you know, just think about some of the bushes that need to be cut down in front of the church. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, whatever. I mean, just think about the different things that you might need to do, and just think about what are some things that we can do to just make the church that much more easier for newcomers to not only find us, but then find a home among us. Create new entry points. This is something you need to constantly do. You got to constantly create new activities within the church. Not for your membership, for those who have already been long-term guests to be there, but these are entry points for new people to come in. All of us should be involved already. But if we got some people on the fringes, this is an entry point for them too to get involved. And we should be creating new things for these people who are not yet connected within the church. Move forward. Most prospective members prefer to help pioneer the new rather than join the old. They love to be pioneers, you know, to be part of something that's new. And saying, we're starting a new ministry, and we'd love you to be a part. And you'll find out how many of these new people will come to that thing, to be part of that ministry. Don't just get your regular people to get involved, but other people get involved. Be redundant. Okay? In other words, use as many channels as possible to notify your people of these events. Spread the words with posters, announcements, mailings, direct phone calls, social networking. There's many different things that you could use to get the message out, to get people involved with, so that they can connect with the church. And persevere. That's the last thing. Don't give up. Just hang in there, because this is important work, all right, of having a church that can assimilate, that can get people who are on the outside in. There's a whole other workshop that can be done sometime if you want to talk about working with fringe members who are not involved in their church and people who, you know, but that's another thing. But we're talking about people who are outside here in the circle, and we want to somehow take the first-time guests, that they become second-time guests, that they become regular attenders, and that they eventually become members. And then this process continues. All right, but we're talking about getting them to that point. So that they stay, and then they stick, and then they serve. or they return, they, you got it? They return, relationships, and then they have responsibilities. Right? So we want people to come back, get involved with people, like find entry points to go into. Okay, so now here comes your little assignment. I want you to, again, break into groups of five. And I wanted to give a quote, see if I got the quote here. I had it on my slide. If I'll find it, I'll find it later. If you can't, the quote goes something like this. Let's see if I can remember what I wrote down earlier. If you can't describe the process of doing something, then you're not going to do anything, right? You have to be able to describe it. And what I want you to do is I want you to design a process of where you're going to move the person who is here. Well, let's use the circles again. So you got a person that is out here. Well, let's actually have somebody. Right? And you're going to move that person to be a first time. But now we're thinking this person has already come for the first time, but we want to move them to become a second time, to become a regular attender, and to a membership. What do you as a church need to do? I want you to describe this process. In other words, what's step one, step two, step three? What are the things that we need to do? All right, do you understand what I want you to do? All right, go into groups of five, and I'll give you 20 minutes to do that, and then we're going to have you report back. So we'll have three groups of five, or six, or whatever, just divide into three different groups, and then we're going to have the three of you report. I want to have something in hand when you're done. You're going to report back. So appoint a spokesperson that's going to come up here and describe the system to us, the process that you have in mind. All right? Go for it. You got 20 minutes. I'll let you know when it's 15. And then we got 10 minutes to report.